This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do this Chris Herney deal. Chris Herney joins me now. Chris, what are you listening to?
That's Go Harder by Atlanta rapper Future. Yesterday, I played my personal unofficial Tony Allen theme song, Annie Up by M.O.P. This is Tony Allen's self-selected theme song that he personally embraced.
Part two of the Tony Allen series that Chris produced, wrote, is up at the Daily Memphian. We'll talk about that in a moment. I'd urge you to pop on over to the Daily Memphian and read both. Last night, Grizzlies complete their four-game set against four pretty woeful teams with another close victory. Let's start with Ja. We've now got, he's played five straight games, four of them very good.
The triumphant There Before the Grace of God tour.
Yes, right there, but, and I mean, he's the very consistent theme here once again last night. Thoughts on Ja?
Ja's been good. We'll see. I thought he turned the corner and then he turned another corner, but now he's turned the corner again, and we'll see where it is. But he's played well, ever since that Dallas game, ever since, I guess, second half of the Dallas game. I thought he was okay in the first. He was just missing shots.
Right.
But this is a good stretch, and he continues to look good. This one was a little bit different. I thought they played with their food a little bit. On social media, I said they were being a little bit too casual, which is not the first time that's happened in the last few weeks. Taylor Jenkins basically echoed that in his post game. He used the word nonchalant.
Right.
I think they were sort of just going through the motions and trying to coast their way to victory, and it got dicier than they wanted it to. So Ja was not like bearing down, I'm going to kill you this game, Ja. But he was playing with a nice rhythm and making plays, and then came through big at the end, which has been his norm of late.
28 points, 7 assists, and this time was good from 3, including the dagger at the end. 4 of 7 from 3 with 12.1 seconds left, hit the big 3 to really
start. That's been a trend, too. He's hit big 3s, late, I think, in Dallas and New Orleans.
Yeah. When I listen to you and Drew on the podcast, Drew is always, you've trained him. Now that when he says hit him when they count, he doesn't even apologizes in advance for saying that. Now
he hears the footsteps.
Right, he hears the footsteps, because you're like, they're all count, and they do, but it feels like he hits them in the big moments. What did you think of the Colin Sexton play?
There was nothing to it. Ja, we're watching it. Ja's experiencing it, so he doesn't know there's nothing to it in the moment.
Right.
That was all. That was 100. It was about two things. A, it was about the pass. Was a little wild.
Bad pass.
But then it was mostly about Ja is sensitive to being undercut because of what happened against the Lakers earlier in the season. So that was just an instinctual thing for him. But there was nothing wrong with the Colin Sexton play.
That's exactly right. Other themes to last. Well, Luke was great. Luke came back and
tied his career high.
And tied his career high with 30 points off the bench, 7 of 9 from three. And it's interesting because as you look at the wings, we've wondered how these things would sort themselves out. There's obviously no Laravia anymore. There's no Marcus Smart anymore.
Right.
And Vince has not been what one might have dreamed he would
Vince
be.
Vince is not healthy. There was a play last night in that game where there was a loose ball along the sidelines, and he had a step. He was a step in front of the Jazz player, who was closest to the ball, and he hesitated for a second to go get it. And he did go get it, but that hesitation was just not him, you know? Right. And I know he's not shooting well from three, and would I like to see him make more? Yes. Would I like to see him take fewer? Sure. That's not even what I care about.
Care about the havoc.
The everything, right, everywhere, all at once aspect of his play, which was with him last season, it is not there, and I think it is entirely. And there were some. He made some plays last night, but it was like hand quickness plays, things that require like the quick movement off of his feet. It's just not there for him right now. I don't know whether it'll get there this season. I hope it does, but he is not himself physically.
Well, it's a little bit of a problem because he's not himself. Gigi is, as we've established, a very mixed, much of a mixed bag, and Jalen Wells is sort of. Not been.
Yeah, the shooting's real erratic with him lately. He's still a guy who doesn't make mistakes, and he plays good defense. He is somewhat limited physically, I think, still athletically, but he's a smart, and he's a savvy defender who plays the effort is consistent on that end, and he makes good decisions. He's a guy you feel good being out there, but the shot has been real erratic lately.
Shot has been real erratic lately since the last six games, 7-35 from three. Was one of seven for the field last night. And so, you know, Luke's shot making was absolutely critical to that last night.
Well, and I think I mentioned this yesterday, I think, or maybe the day before, but like Scottie Pippen has sort of reemerged. Yeah. And I think that is something. He's a guy who can get after it defensively, so you can put him on some bigger guys. And I think that has helped them soak up some minutes when they've had some of these problems on the wing.
It's funny that Ja play is a little bit of Scotty in a microcosm. Making the huge steal.
Right.
Like he makes a huge steal and then doesn't quite deliver with the pass.
Right, right, right.
You know, that's a little bit of Scotty. So here's the question. I don't know if there's anything else from last night that stuck out, but now you've got Cleveland and then the Heat in back to backs.
Right.
Do you imagine they will be strategic with who they play when? And if you were to be strategic, would you be, if you knew there was a player you didn't want to play both nights, would you play them Friday or Saturday?
I'd play them Saturday. I feel like if Jaren is not playing Friday, and I assume he is not playing Friday, I think that's a rough one.
With the
Cleveland front line without Jaren, right. I think is a bad spot. So I'd be happy to get the split and win Saturday on the Tony Allen night. I mean, that is a good question because they've had a lot of these guys who are day-to-day, and they've had this compression of games. And last night, like, you know, the 11-man rotation, and you're keeping the minutes low. And I think you're trying to do that to save wear and tear and try to still win the game. And, like, sometimes you navigate to a victory and sometimes you don't. And last night they did, but it was that kind of thing, right?
Well, and as you pointed out, the no sun, and we talked about this earlier with the calf, that's obviously
I think you're going to be
problem,
super careful with it. Yeah.
So if you've got no Jaren and no Santi against the Cavs, that doesn't look particularly promising. One never knows. Which gets me to Tony Allen, because one never knows. On February 8th, yesterday, the focus of your piece was the first Tony Allen game. Today you wrote about the game that most people remember as the Tony Allen game, February 8th, 2011. So it was no Mayo and no Rudy Gay. That's right. Why Tony started. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, that is why he started that game. Yeah.
He was not
supposed to start until an hour before the game. Rudy was a late scratch. So Tony, like an hour before the game, Tony's on the board coming off the bench, and then they make the last-minute switch, which I write about in the story.
He was not pleased with that. Tony
was very focused on his preparation. He famously was like, like watch more tape than like anybody else, right? And so he would really spend a lot of time, you know, watching tape. And Jason March, who was then the video coordinator, now is an assistant coach on the Taylor Chicken staff, would make Tony like video edits of his primary matchup for every game, and Tony would like spend a lot of time with that. And so what he'd spend his time
it's going to be James Harden.
Watching James Harden tape, yeah.
And instead he gets
a Rudy Gay assignment in the starting lineup about an hour before tip, less than an hour before tip. Yeah.
All right. So what, remind me, what happened in that game?
So Tony, they're on the road. They second night of a back-to-back. They lost against the Lakers the night before. The Thunder are rolling. The Thunder had beat them pretty badly. They'd played in between these two games, the Grizzlies and the Thunder, and Thunder had won. And Thunder are full strength. The Grizzlies are without, you know, their first or second leading scorer, and where it was at that point in the season, of Rudy, and then without OG Mayo. And they go and they win overtime on the road, and Tony Allen has 27 points, which was then his Grizzlies career high, and remains tied for his Grizzlies career high.
That's amazing.
And has, I don't remember the numbers, but all kinds of steals and assists and stuff, and guards Kevin Durant late and makes big plays, and they win the game.
27 points on 12 field goal attempts, 5 steals, all this from your story, 5 steals, 3 blocks, and 0 turnovers.
This was not trick or treat Tony. This was treat Tony.
Yeah. And now Z-Bo in this game was
leading scorer.
Leading scorer, 31 and 14. And so Tony didn't expect to be the walk-off interview.
No, Tony was leaving the court thinking about, I'm going to go back to the locker room and I'm going to tell Rudy Gay about, you know, taking off this game and what I did, stepping into his spot. So in his head, he is imagining the conversation he's about to have with Rudy Gay. And instead, Rob Fisher intercepts him and puts a microphone in his face. And instead of saying what he was about to say to Rudy Gay, he said it to the TV camera. And that is where it comes
to
from.
To me, almost the best part of your story. That isn't mentioned in the documentary. It is true.
I can't remember.
In the documentary, it is true that it says he didn't expect to be. But I didn't know that the thing that was playing in his head was, I'm going to tell Rudy you got to grit. This is all hard, grit, grind.
Right.
And that is literally, he was going to deliver this to his teammate.
Right.
And instead delivered it to Rob. The other thing was interesting was the phrase grind was kind of a Lionel thing.
Well, a lot of this stuff is just cliche
stuff. Of course.
To me, it's about the way Tony said it and the emotion and the inflection and how it fit the team. And like, there's nothing interesting about the language, honestly. It's pretty common stuff.
Okay. But then what is interesting is, and this part wasn't so much in your story. He says that. Obviously, Vernon grabs it and puts it on T-shirts. I think without Chris doing that, it might not have become the emblem.
Yes. No, I agree. And I didn't get that in the story. But even before that, before it was on T-shirts, it was a soundbite on Chris's radio show and other places. And I can literally remember where I was. I was standing up in my living room looking at my phone. I think I had it plugged in on the mantle. On Twitter, instantly, it was a thing. Instantly.
From the moment he said
it. Yeah. Now, it was not a grit grind thing. People were mostly laughing about the Ibakas of the world and like that aspect of it. But I remember like interacting on like, you know, the people who were like part of the Grizzlies Twitter back then, like Jason Potter, who worked for the Grizzlies. I remember interacting with him like on my phone about it. And you can still find the clip on YouTube of it. And Peter Edmondson put the clip up like the next day. And that's still on YouTube. Right. So and then Chris started playing the soundbite on the show the next day. So it didn't fully click as a thing, probably for a month or two, and with the T-shirts, but it was already sort of becoming a thing, like literally minutes later.
It was his hilarious delivery that is what
the combination of the humor and the intensity, and them both being there at the same time and sort of intermixed with each other.
So that was great. So then when I'd forgotten this, but now I read it in the piece today. Again, you read it in the Daily Memphian. The fender bender. When was the
fender bender? That's my all-time favorite Tony Allen moment. I still, and I told Tony this when we were talking about it. To this day, I have a fantasy basketball team.
Uh-huh.
And the name of my fantasy basketball team is She Called Her Goons. That is forever my favorite Tony Allen thing.
So when was this relative to the...
I'm pretty sure it was that season, but I don't know. I didn't try to look it up. But yes, I'm pretty sure it was that season. But later on that season. But yeah, like Tony's driving, and there was whole stuff about Tony driving. I remember Zach Randolph in a locker room one night saying, Tony's my friend, but that man cannot drive. And maybe it was a reaction to the fender bender. Must have been. If I asked him, ask him about that. But Tony's driving to practice. He said it was around Park and Get Well, somewhere in that area. And he gets into a fender bender, a very minor fender bender. And the woman, the middle-aged white woman, and she doesn't know who he is, and she won't get out of the car. And he's like, you know, I got somewhere to go. She won't get out of the car until the police come. So he goes and he sits back in his car. And he live tweets, and I'm sure you can find it. I didn't try. I'm not good at searching this stuff. It's probably still somewhere on the internet. It was multiple tweets. He was just live tweeting the whole experience. I remember in the moment, I was sitting there looking at my phone, like, what is going on? Tony Allen's live tweeting a wreck. And he's live tweeting the whole thing. And then at one point, so she calls, you know, she's waiting for the police. And in the meantime, she's not live tweeting. She calls her friends, and her friends come, and they're standing outside around her car. And Tony takes a photo from his side mirror. Uh-huh. Of all the other middle-aged white ladies standing around the other middle-aged white lady's car, and he types in his caption, the tweet is, she called her goons, LOL. And once I reminded Tony of it, he remembered it all, and he went into more detail about what happened.
The cops finally did come, and it was nothing. A couple other things. Like, in today's piece, you talk a little bit about how demonstrative Tony was in lots of different respects. The hands behind the back thing?
That happened in that game. So I used, in both of these stories, they're sort of rooted in an individual game, but I tried to use those games as a launching point to get into broader aspects of Tony Allen and the Grizzlies, right? So in the first story, it was about sort of the complicated sort of early, complicated journey for him to get to the point of having a breakthrough, and then sort of the no, yes, trick-or-treat aspect to his play and how the team sort of responded to that. In this story, there's sort of two things I tried to jump off of from that game in that moment. One is his personal style. Now, I could have written 100,000 words of just Tony Allen stories about various Tony Allen things. I happened to pick like three that I got quotes from other people over for the story, but I could have picked like 75 others easily, right? I could have written about the wandering through the kids and the first down and his first team and all of that. But I happened to pick things that are sort of from that season.
One was this behind the back.
Which he did that night. That's a thing that's sort of my starting point was he had a couple fouls late. He didn't want to get another foul, so he just put his hands behind his back and guarded Kevin Durant with his hands behind his back.
Okay. And then where's the he with us from? How he would deploy that?
So the one that I remember, and Tony says he did this a lot. I personally remember seeing this once. I was sitting courtside. It was against the Sacramento Kings when Tyreek Evans, with the Kings, former University of Memphis player, was there, and Tony's guarding him, and the ball is whipping around, and Tony's playing off of Tyreek to like hedge into the paint, and the ball comes back out to Tyreek, and Tony turns to go close out, looks at Tyreek, shakes his head, and mutters, "He with us," and turns around and goes to get the rebound, and lets Tyreek shoot a wide open three, which he misses. Now that sounds like an apocryphal story, the he with us thing, he with us. But Tony did that at least once, and I remembered it, and Tony says he did that a lot.
But he also said it came from
it was done
Paul
to him.
Pierce, done to him.
Yeah, right.
It was done to him in practice.
I learned it from you. Remember that PSA about, like, you know, drug addiction or whatever? I learned it from you, Dad.
That came from Paul Pierce, who did it to him. He went to us. Okay, and then finally.
But people should read the story. We're giving people the whole story.
The highlights. We're giving people the highlights. The last thing is then this is. I remember, I honestly, being in China, and I was talking to Woj about O.J. Mayo, because it was after O.J. Mayo had a big year. Maybe it was a rookie year, whatever. But there was a moment, like when it was Mark, and it was Mike. It was Mark, and it was Zebo, and it was supposed to be O.J. and Rudy. Like that's sort of who was a little bit
my season preview story, cover story for the Memphis Flyer going into the next season, the 2011-2012 season. The artist who worked with the illustrations, a guy named Greg Cravens, did a great job. He was a big comic book guy, and we would do like comic book
terrific
stuff. Yeah, and the one we did going into the next season, this is after this, so 2011-2012. Was modeled after a Fantastic Four comic book cover, and it said Four for the Future. And it was Marc Gasol, Zach Randolph, Mike Conley, and Rudy Gay. And so the idea of Tony Allen as part of a core four, it really was a couple years for that to fully come together.
And then,
but this game, and this is a point I make about this game, I don't think anyone else has ever made this point before about this, one of the more famous games in Grizzlies history, probably the most famous regular season game in Grizzlies history. That was the first time ever the Grizzlies won a basketball game with Mike Conley, Marc Gasol, Zach Randolph, and Tony Allen as the four main guys on the floor.
Interesting.
The first one.
But that, so even, at, and that was the year when they beat, went on to beat San Antonio in the first round.
Yep.
And yet, even after that year,
they extended Rudy Gay the next summer. Rudy Gay had a big contract the summer after that.
Do you have any memory of how Tony was in that playoff series? Was Tony a big factor against the?
He had good games. He, I mean, it was a Zach Randolph, Marc Gasol series,
right?
Those guys really did the heavy lifting.
Zeebo series, the biggest of all.
Well, and then Mark had a game against Duncan where he went like a 11 of 12 or something. You can look it up. But that was a Zeebo Marc Gasol playoffs. And Tony had good game. He missed the first game, I think, with an injury. I think. You have to go back and look that up. I didn't really focus on the playoff stuff. Because that was not the most memorable Tony Allen stuff was not the playoffs. It was the regular season.
Well, and then they went on to play Oklahoma City and I don't recall particularly, like I remember Gravis Vasquez in that series.
Well, at one point, and I think it was the end of that series, they made a switch in the starting lineup. At one point they were starting Tony and Sam, and they flipped it completely and started OJ and Shane to get more shooting on the floor. I had some quotes from Lionel this, in fact, I didn't use in either story, but I want to say maybe it's game 7 at OKC. One of those games, he flipped it, hoping he would get a shooting boost from the flip, and then it just so happened that OJ and Shane just weren't making shots that night, and it didn't work out, you know?
So, Rudy then got the extension at the end of that year.
Right.
And then stayed right through the next series. Rudy had the Zach got hurt, and Rudy had the disappointing playoff series against the Clippers.
Zach made it back by that series, but Zach was not himself. And so Rudy was
took a bunch of shots and missed a bunch of shots.
That's right.
And it was at the end of towards the end of the next season that they moved on from Rudy
around the trade deadline the next season. Yeah, 2013. Yeah.
And that's when it sort of actually became the core four.
Yeah, you go into that playoffs, and then that's, you know, you had the Tony Allen stuff in the Clipper series and the flexing over Zeebo and then all of that.
Yeah. It is interesting you had, and you noted this, I remember, in the last one of these we did, which was Mark's, that Rudy came. And it's a little...
I could see it.
I was a little wistful. I don't know if he's going to be there Saturday or not, but it's a little wistful for him.
I was watching Rudy that night, and you can see you could sort of see the play of emotions going out, playing out with him. Because Rudy, like, I want to say, did he like marry someone from Memphis? He had connections to Memphis and maintained like after his playing career, and Rudy wanted it to work here, and it just didn't. There's actually in some of the stuff there were Rudy quotes I didn't use because the story's not about Rudy. We're Lionel talking about Rudy and Mike talking about Rudy. And Mike really sort of included Rudy when he thinks about that Grizzlies team that season.
Right.
Because Rudy was part of that team. Now, he got hurt. He was not part of the playoffs, but he was there in the middle of every huddle and whatever. But Rudy, there was also a thing with Rudy where, and this is sort of like the way players process stuff versus the way people from the outside do, and it's not always true that game recognizes game. And some people like to think like the players know better, and they don't. But because a lot of times they are persuaded by what a player's capable of doing, not what they do on a day-to-day basis, right? And Rudy was capable of doing things that a lot of players were not capable of. I think players who are on the floor with guys, they see like the peak version. What are you capable? This guy can do stuff other guys can't do. But then you step back from it and you look at play after play, day after day. They don't really do it as much, you know?
You caught up with Mike in Minnesota?
Yeah, a few weeks ago.
And how was he?
He was great. It was a shoot around. It was shoot around the day they played the Thunder that night. No, Mike was super nice. Mike's great. Mike's always great.
And have you looked at the Timberwolves schedule? Is he not going to be here?
Mike told me he was planning to come. Now he's in the middle of a season. So they don't play that night. The Wolves don't play that night. Mike told me
they
play
the Magic tomorrow at Minnesota, and then they don't play.
Yeah. Right. So Mike told me, and this may have been off the record, but whatever, I'm saying it. Mike told me that he was hoping/planning to be here for the Tony game. I don't know if that's 100% locked in.
Right.
But that's what he told me.
You can read the series over at the Daily Memphian. I would urge you to do it. It's fabulous. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
All right, we're going to play Righter Than Right Trivia coming up next, and two tickets to see James Taylor at South Bank
Plus Amphitheater.
Bank Plus Amphitheater. That's in September. Win them before you can buy them. We'll take caller number 3-445-0929, 445-0929. Kevin Cerita will join us. You can win two tickets to CJT when we return. Jeff Calkins, 92.9 FM ESPN.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the ION College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the ION College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. It's not my favorite James Taylor song.
You could have told me.
you're right. That's fair.
Mm-hmm.
That's fair. Joined now by Kevin Cerita. Kevin is the maestro of fun and games. Have you seen
song, Jeff. It brings back memories of when we were in Mexico for John Martin's wedding. Remember
that's
how many years
true. Ago? That's true.
See, I knew it.
That's true. Harkens back to. Have you seen James Taylor?
I have not seen him live, so I can't win the tickets. So
no, and you can't win the tickets. I've probably seen him, you know.
How many?
Not double figures, but close. Maybe double figures, something like that. I mean, I went to see him in Boston. The first concert I ever went to was at the Niagara Falls Convention Center, and my brother Hugh, who was older, he drove us, so I was still too young to drive, and he drove us, and it was a bunch of really pretty girls from high school and me and a couple other friends and Hugh driving us. And that was back in probably 78, 70. That was probably 77 or something like that. And then I saw him in Boston a bunch of times. I saw him in DC a bunch of times. I've seen him here a bunch of times. So someone has a chance to win two tickets.
He seems like one of those artists that is very much an amphitheater guy.
Yeah.
Like his show just works very well outside.
And he doesn't. So. When I last saw him at FedEx Forum, which was now 3 or 4 years ago, maybe.
Oh, I thought it was.
No, before. No. It was 3 or 4 years ago. He didn't sound like Paul McCartney the other day on SNL. Sounded old. Right.
Yeah, no, James Taylor
still sounds like, at least last I checked, still sounds like James Taylor. How old is he?
77.
Yeah, it's getting up there. That's definitely getting up there. Anyway, what's happening in your world, Kevin?
Well, give a quick shout out to Brian, who listens every week. Saw him at a school bingo event earlier this week. So always great to see the people out and about, because I'm out and about all the time. Usually, since we're on Thursdays, I plug the Thursday stuff. So I thought, let's do something different. Let me tell you where you can play on Tuesdays, because Tuesdays, we have lots of new options for trivia every week. So if you want to play trivia with us on Tuesdays, we're at Cafe Eclectic, which is a BYOB location, and it starts at 6:30 for the early starters there in Midtown. We're at Jack Brown's, Flyway Brewing Company, which used to be High Cotton, and we're at Waldo's in Cordova every other week, and this coming Tuesday is that every other week that we're there, so if you want to come play in Cordova, we'll be out there as well. But the whole schedule is always up at CerritoEntertainment.com.
All right. Who's our contestant, Jeffrey?
Jeff, we welcome Bobby in Midtown to the program.
Hey, Bobby.
Bobby, hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. Have you seen James Taylor?
Yeah, I've seen James Taylor. He kind of puts me to sleep. But
well,
you know.
Wait a second. What's your incentive to win? What's your incentive to beat Jeffrey? Then are you going to give him away if you win, or are you going to use him yourself?
I was thinking about giving you a good deal on him.
You're going to give me a good deal on them. That's fair. That's fair.
Hey, listen, if you
don't want him, we'll give him away. We'll give him away. Anyway,
no,
okay. Let's see.
I'm going to go. All right.
I appreciate it. That's great. He's offering me a good deal on him. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Kevin, take over. take over. I don't want him to
put
me.
It's fair here. It's all about fair. It's all about being fair here. Righter than right. All right. Your job is to try to get more right than Jeffrey. If you do, you win. I don't think anybody's been able to do that here in 2025. I'm going to give you a choice.
Someone won in January.
Somebody did win in January? Yeah. I was trying to find the documentation there. You're going to get a choice of two categories. Whichever one you don't choose automatically goes to Jeffrey. And you can steal from him once if he misses a question and vice versa. Your opening categories today, we have science and streaming.
Yeah, this will be a relatively easy one for Jeffrey, because other than the Tigers and Grizzlies, there's not much good news going around. So I've kind of stepped out of the news for a while.
Do you want science or streaming, though?
Yeah, which one do you want, streaming. Science or streaming?
Streaming. Streaming.
Now we are in now we're done with current events and we are into the general knowledge era. So maybe we do have a chance here to do better. All right, we are streaming. Of course, we talked about it quite often earlier this week. We're an anniversary week for COVID. Five years.
Yeah.
Holy moly.
Amazing.
All right. We've been almost playing this game now for 5 years here on 92.9. Subtitled, so here's your streaming question. Subtitled Murder, Mayhem, and Madness, what true crime documentary became a craze at the start of the COVID-19 pandemic?
Murder, Mayhem, and Madness. Was it about the tiger thing down in Florida, Tiger King, or that's the only thing I can think of.
Where are we going with that final answer here?
Tiger King.
Tiger King? Tiger King is correct. All right, there you go. You
nailed it. He worked his way there. Jeffrey was ready to pounce.
Yeah.
Jeffrey was over here on the other side ready to pounce. All right, 1-0.
Wow.
5 years since Tiger King.
Science,
right. He's in jail. He is not getting pardoned, right? Everybody's getting pardoned,
yeah.
But this Tiger King still in jail. All right, science. Scientifically, what is the opposite of acidic, and in fashion is the opposite of eclectic?
Bland?
That is incorrect. You want to steal or you want
to... Bobby, you're not allowed to laugh at your competitor.
Yes, you
can. That's rude.
By all means.
That's rude. Go ahead. What you want? Are you going to steal?
Kevin Durant did.
Yeah. No, I don't think I can steal that one. If Jeffrey didn't know it, I won't know it.
That's going to make for an interesting game here. But the basic is your answer. We're looking for basic. Basic.
Okay. Still 1-0. Still 1-0. Bobby, so fired up to win these James Taylor tickets. He's taking a 1-0 lead after round one.
Fast food or fast cars?
Fast food. That's Jeffrey's topic there. I'll take fast cars.
Fast cars. What muscle car did Chevy introduce in 1966? It's a direct competitor to the Ford Mustang.
Say one more time.
What muscle car did Chevy introduce in 1966 as a direct competitor to the Ford Mustang?
Camaro?
Camaro is correct.
Dang it.
Woo! It's got to be the Camaro. It's got to be the Camaro. It was kind of a softball, let's be honest.
Well, it could have been Corvette.
But
66
Corvette.
Is late.
All right, Corvette. Over to Jeffrey. Fast food.
Fast
sweet
food,
spot.
Jeffrey. Before he was under the influence of the final boss and making John Cena turn heel, Travis Scott attached his name to a combo meal at what fast food chain about 5 years ago, about COVID times as well? Travis Scott, combo meal at what fast food restaurant about 5 years?
Nearly certain. This feels McDonald's. Final answer, McDonald's.
That's right. You can have it your way.
That's a critical point you picked up. 2-1. Keeping it close. All right. Over. Back to Bobby.
Let's go back further in time. Now, we're going to go back to 2000s movies or 2000s music?
2000. What was the first one?
Movies or music?
I'll take music.
Music. In the 2004 anthem Holla Back Girl, Gwen Stefani spells out what word several times for the listening audience?
Golly, my daughter used to listen to that song all day long as that thing came out.
It sucked then and sucks now.
Well, wow.
Hey now.
No Holla
Banana?
Girl.
What was that?
Banana?
Bananas is correct. We are bananas. How do you spell that one?
3-1.
Bananas.
Yeah. All right. It is right, 3-1. Bobby is giving Jeffrey everything he can handle here. Go ahead.
It seems like he's making the right choices, which is always
a huge, underrated
part of the game.
Yes.
Yeah. 2000s movies for you, Jeffrey. I'm going to give you a quote from a comedy film from the 2000s. This is from 2008. I gave the year for the Holla Back song. So it's 2008 movie. Here's the quote. You've got to know, I'm not just some guy, Brennan. That is the voice of an angel. Brennan, I can't even make eye contact with you right now. Your voice is like a combination of Fergie and Jesus.
Step Brothers.
Step Brothers is correct. Jeffrey, quickly.
Nailed it. 3-2, keeping it close. Last round of regulation over to Bobby.
And we got multiple choice here. You what, women in government or women in literature? Because it is Women's History Month.
I guess I'll go women in government. I'm not too up on my women in literature.
Well, which government organization was created in part due to the work of Rachel Carson? Was it A, the Environmental Protection Agency, B, the Food and Drug Administration, C, the National Institute of Health, or D, the National Weather Service? Which government organization was created in part due to the work of Rachel Carson? A, the Environmental Protection Agency, B, Food and Drug Administration, C, the National Institute of Health, or D, the National Weather Service?
This is going to be a complete guess. What was the second one? What was B?
Food and Drug Administration.
I think I'll go with A.
He nailed it! Out of the blue! Unbelievable! This is not your day, Jeffrey.
Surprising than Jaw hitting a three.
Yeah, it's kind of at a critical moment. Straight away three, throws it up about the same percentage, 25%, and nails it.
Is it because he's got nothing to lose here because he doesn't want the tickets?
He was gonna go. The other thing is he was gonna go two. He was gonna go Food and Drug Administration. Did you know it, Jeffrey?
Yes.
A huge swing there. Huge swing.
I'll give you a bonus point opportunity. How many of these organizations have survived all these cuts?
How many are still with us? All right. Well, is it 4-2 now? I think it's 4-2 now. Over to Jeffrey.
Hammer, nail, coffin.
Oh, that's a little premature.
Oh, wow.
Over to Jeffrey.
Yeah, it gets called a little bit early sometimes. So, women in literature, Jeffrey. Holly Jackson is best known for her books in which genre? Holly Jackson, best known for her books in which genre? A, mystery, B, bromance, C, historical fiction, or D, high fantasy?
Mystery.
Quick for Jeffrey. Yes, A, mystery is correct. You know, this is women in literature.
I know my Brits.
Really? What does she write? What has she written?
It's like, I would say it's like kind of like young adult mystery.
All right, so it's 4-3, still up for grabs. Let me see how many Jeffrey's wagering. All right, how many are you wagering, Bobby?
I'm just going to go one.
He's going to go one. Okay, Jeffrey wagered three. This is very tense. All right, go ahead.
It is. We're going to do world geography. World geography is your final category. Do you want A or B?
Me?
Yeah.
Yes.
World geography. I don't have a choice, huh?
Yeah, but do you want to question A or B?
Now, your choice is A or B.
I'll take... B.
All right. Oh, so what are the ramifications for the score right
now? Well, he's got four. He can go up to
four.
Four
to three, but
if Jeffrey then hits, Jeffrey wins. It's really going to come down to Jeffrey.
I don't have any steals on the board, so both could steal.
Both could steal, yeah.
It could be a very fun over March Madness style finish.
Let's see if it
lives up to it. What European country split into two nations on the last day of 1992 and basically cut its name in half as well?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Say that again.
World geography, this is your question. What European country split into two nations on the last day of 1992 and basically cut its name in half as well?
I know it.
Oh, crap. I really have no idea. Let me just make some kind of guess. I'll say... Czechoslovakia.
What? That is some type of guess, because that's the correct answer.
He keeps nailing this. He keeps nailing it. All right, so it's 5-3. It's 5-3. It is interesting, though. Had you missed there and Jeffrey nailed it, he would have clinched the... Is that true?
Well,
no, because he could have... Yeah. This is getting into math. This is not my strong suit. He's now up 5-3, but Jeffrey has wagered all three of his points. So if he hits, he wins.
All right, here we go, Jeffrey. Russia is geographically the largest country in the world, occupying over 17 million square kilometers. What is the second largest?
All right. I think it's
I think it's kind of
a trick question.
Why talk us through it. Why do you think it's a trick question?
Because I think it's one that you wouldn't expect, but I think it's a bunch of uninhabitable land. All right, I'm going to say Canada. Canada, final answer.
That is the correct answer.
Hey, Canada, a walk-off. Oh, what were you going to do? What was the other one here? China? I would have guessed China. Bobby? Screw you. You don't like James Taylor. You didn't win. I'm just kidding. But he did play honorably.
Yeah, absolutely.
He did play honorably. So we'll give you the tickets. Now, I'll buy them back for you from Tooth. No, I'm just kidding. Congratulations, Bobby. Thanks for giving us a really feisty, feisty performance today. That was thrilling. Kevin, once again, people can see where you're going to be at CerritoEntertainment.com. Am I correct?
Yeah, go there. You'll hear at least one of these questions tonight, if not more. You get an advantage for listening here to the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 every week. You come in prepared and ready to beat the other teams. But how about this? Canada, the second largest country, would without doubt be the largest state if it was added.
It would be the largest state. It's a trick question because it's the second largest country for now.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. That's why
it's a trick question. Now.
Until we say so.
Until we say so. Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate it.
Thanks, y'all.
Jeffrey, do we need to take another break or do we not need to take another break? How are we going to do this? What are we going
to
do?
No, we do not need to take another break.
We don't need to take another break. So we got a full slate of college hoop games today. Anything you're particularly – I mean, that Arkansas-Ole Miss game will be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, the problem with a lot of these conference terms is trying to figure out how much does it matter. But, yes,
well, what are the stakes?
That's a great –
That is the question is what are the stakes for any of this, right? Obviously, the stakes in the tournaments where – one team gets in.
I did love DJ Wagner going into the portal yesterday.
What's coming up next on 92.9?
Jeff, here's what's coming up next on Jason and John. Drew Hill joins their program today. David Cobb will be with me on Jeff Wright and Company. Eric Hastein, Jason Smith with us today. It's Thursday, so Jeff will be with Gabe at 5 o'clock.
Have a great day, everyone. We will be back tomorrow for Now Work Is Done.